Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. The legendary Milwaukee band The Bodines have a huge fan in performer Doug Vincent. When he needed music to accompany his new autobiographical one-man show, Vincent got his play in the hands of producer Gary Tannen, who represents Bodine's co-founder and former member Sam Yannis. Tannen noticed that many of the play's themes, bullying, suicide, abuse, echoed those on Yannis' 1998 album, A Good Day to Die. So instead of providing just a soundtrack, Yannis worked with Vincent, and A Day for Grace became an artistic collaboration. The play has its Milwaukee premiere this evening at Next Act Theater. It runs through Sunday there. Doug Vincent, Sam Yannis, and Gary Tannen are in the performance studio with us now. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Nice to be here.
It strikes me that both of your stories are so personal. You know, the original artistic product that arose from these stories is such a personal work. Did you ever have any reservations about making it connect to somebody else's very personal story? Because it was powerful to begin with.
Well, for me, I didn't really give that much thought. And actually, by the time that Doug came into my life with his script, so much time had passed since I had kind of exercised my own personal demons that, you know, I was kind of past it in a way. To me, I just kind of went in and thinking, well, I got nothing to lose here, really. You know, let's see what happens, you know. Kind of nonchalant almost.
And Doug, even though you were such a big fan of the Bodines for those many years, did it ever give you pause to turn over some of the personal nature from the one-man show and make it a joint personal enterprise?
I was curious, I would say, how those stories would come together. But the most remarkable thing happened from my experience when we got together. It's almost like the specificity of both of our stories brought us into the bigger picture story. Of course, it wasn't planned or charted out in any way. That's where I believe the artistic synchronicity from beyond us kind of drove our project coming together.
And I think there's no denying for any of us, and I think this is why this has been so easy to work together, is like, well, How do you sit there and say to yourself, this isn't working, when you've got sold-out audiences and standing ovations and people all being moved to the point of tears halfway through the show, regardless of what venue you do this in? You say, well, this is making sense to people.
Right? Well, I feel like we've been talking around this a little bit, and I hope that Doug and Sam, you can kind of walk us through how this works so well, how your two stories, your spoken story and your musical story telling jibe so nicely together with some examples from the play itself.
Towards the front end of the story in the show, I have a story about a bully that I encountered as a kid. This was one of those moments that made the hair on my arm stand up when we first got together. There were so many lines from the story that I'd written that were echoing in his song, and his song about his experience with Bully on the Corner from his song Bully on the Corner. So as I would do the story and then Sam would just kind of slide the song in afterwards, it was remarkable. Our bullies kind of look the same even, and we both call them by their names, like we remembered their names, and in the stories that specificity again that reaches the universal. And that was one of the first examples early in the show where my bully story and Bully on the Corner just came together like they were written for each other.
Well, yeah. So do you want to talk about where Bully on the Corner came from for you?
Well, when I was in kindergarten, I used to get beat up on my way home from school almost every day for quite a while. And, you know, that's my personal experience with bullying. And in the play, Doug's talking about his experience with a bully. And his name is Brian Bailey. And, you know, he's got red hair and freckles. And, you know, and he's just talking about his bully experience. And then while he's doing that, I kind of come in with this song. Short version. Well, hi, my name is Sammy. I just turned 5 years old. I go to kindergarten at the White Rock School. Yeah, I go in the morning. I get off at noon. There's a bully on the corner. I'm gonna see him soon. His name is Danny Keekler. He's got a squeaky laugh. He's big with lots of freckles. He needs to take a bath. You know, he pushes me down and he bloodies my nose and he takes my nickel. One time I messed my clothes and I don't know what I ever did to have to pay for someone else's sins.
That's Sam Yanis playing in the Lake Effect Performance Studio, Bully on the Corner, which makes its way into the play A Day for Grace. The words from Doug Vincent. Also, producer Gary Tannen is here with us. Doug, can you talk about how the spoken version, you know, the original one-man play developed? Why did you write it and what did you want it to accomplish?
Originally, I had written it more focused on even quite frankly the darker part of the story with the death of my dad, the suicide of my dad. In the course of writing the script, this remarkable thing happens. My daughter Grace is born while I'm working on the script, and details of the story of her difficult birth almost made their way into the story. I don't think there was any denying they were coming in, you know. Those details were from real life, were right in their way into my story as I was living them. It was pretty stunning, some of the parallels between the experience with my dad, the darker experience with my dad, and then the very hopeful flip side of that story with the birth of my daughter, Grace.
Sam, A Good Day to Die, which you recorded under the name Absinthe, also originated with a suicide story, right?
Yeah. When I was 13, my older brother Tom was 19, and he committed suicide. And, you know, I mean, it's a heavy-duty thing. You know, like, it kind of came out of the blue. No one was expecting it. And the biggest thing is, like, you don't know why, and you're never going to know why. So that kind of weighs heavy on you, and you wonder, but you're never really going to be satisfied as to, you know, have that kind of closure about it. So, you know, when I became a songwriter, I always knew that one day I would write about that, but I just didn't know when, you know. And then somehow in about 1996, it just kind of all came pouring out in about 15 minutes, and it just, boom, it was just there. And it's almost a verbatim account of my recollection of the morning I woke up and I heard my mother crying downstairs. And I'm a very late sleeper, but I woke up very early this day, and that was odd, and to hear the crying and going down there and just having everything unfold at that time, it was you know, a very harrowing experience, but you know, not uncommon.
The two of you have both weathered that storm to the degree that you can, and have had the cathartic experience of writing about it, or at least been able to channel some of what you feel through your writing. Is it hard, since that has happened, to have something like this where you're essentially going back and revisiting those feelings time and again every time you do that song or this show?
It's a good question, and my experience is that when we were first doing the first few runs of it, it was personal. And I was reliving the experience of finding my dad, for example, or the wonderful experience of my daughter's birth. Over time, as we've done more runs, I've had the experience where I believe I feel a lot of the stories of the folks in the audience kind of coming through me a little bit, and it almost kind of transcends me or my story, and it's not about me. And it really does become about folks that I sense are kind of going through similar experiences. I can feel that kind of coming through me. And same with the hopeful part too. I can feel all that coming through the audience as well. So it kind of isn't about me.
Sam, is it hard for you to go back to those times, time in and time out?
Well, once again, not so much anymore. When I first was performing my song, A Good Day to Die, it was hard, especially when, like, you know, my mother was in the audience or, you know, other members of my family. That was kind of tough because I didn't know how they were going to react or if they would be angry with me for bluntly, I guess, telling the story, you know. But now I feel like I'm sharing, you know, and I know that there are other people out there who've had the same experience. So I'm kind of like, you know, the first one up there in a way saying, okay, this happened to me and I know it happened to you. And I just want to let you know that you're not alone.
Is there a more hopeful element of this play that that you might want to illustrate for us, how your storytelling and your musical storytelling gel?
There was another example that I felt was, again, remarkable when we got together. When I was doing this scene for the first time for these guys about a scene where my dad was an alcoholic, you know, and this good guy, you know, and we'd go fishing all the time at Buckley's Lake and he would stay up all night by the fire and he'd be talking with my dog Freckles and drinking, and he would say these lines often in real life, and they made their way into the writing, into the show. But one thing that he would say that would haunt me, you know, is, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And Sam and I are, you know, getting together for the first time. I think that kind of triggered a little something in Sam's musical catalog that found its way into the show.
This was one of the moments when me and Doug first got together, when like kind of the hair on my arms kind of raised up, when in the script his dad is saying, I'm nothing. I'm like, oh my God, I got this song and I can play a little bit for you. In my song there's a guy who's, you know, has turned to alcohol. It's kind of a way to escape, you know, his reality and his problems. And it's called Far, Far Away From My Heart. And it's a little version. Well, the feeling's coming on again like a whisper. It's knocking down a doorway. And everything it says, I just believe. In a fear that I'm nothing and alone. So I pour another drink and take a hit. And I wonder where the smoke goes. And I'm feeling more and more like less and less. And it comes from so far down and deep inside that you can't get to it no matter what you try. And I'm far, far away from my heart. Far, far away from my heart. So that's a snippet of that particular song.
Intense and heavy scenes we're talking about, but there is much that is uplifting about this play. And so give us a little background on how your work gels in a more positive way, I guess.
Towards the end of the show, there's a scene involving the birth of my daughter. And it was a difficult birth, so, man, I didn't know how it was going to shake out. The story this time takes a uplifting, positive turn. She comes out, she's born, and she's okay. And right in that scene, I'm describing Grace and I making eye contact for the first time. Right when she's first born, she opens her eyes, and our eyes exactly meet together. And she starts to breathe, and she's breathing. And from that moment, in terms of the script, Sam comes in with uplifting song that represents that synchronicity.
It's almost like a spiritual, you know, kind of a baptism, rebirth. Hey, John, take me down to the water tonight. Hey, John, Take me down to the water tonight, and we'll watch the river flowing. I can see it changing clean. Yes, we'll watch the river flowing. I can see it in my dream. The river looks so beautiful and clean. Let me continue on, and Doug talks about...
As Grace turns and Giggle sprints back towards me, I hear her yell, "Daddy." Like I'm the light of her life, and she is the light of my life with Jessica. And as Grace turns to me in full Giggle sprint, I hear her yell, "Daddy." Like I'm the light of her life, and she is the light of my life with Jessica. And as the sun sets over those Flatirons, the light behind the shadow grins at us. And in the glint, Gracie's wispy hair giggles in the breeze right with her. And I want this day, this moment, to freeze. Please, freeze and last forever. But I know it's going to pass. And it hurts to move on to the next moment. But she does. And we do. As we should.
Sam Yannis, Doug Vincent, Gary Tannen, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
A Day for Grace has its Milwaukee premiere tonight through Sunday at Next Act Theater. It's written by Doug Vincent. The music is by Milwaukee's Sam Yannis. And it's directed by Gary Tannen, all of whom joined us in Studio C1. Our interview was engineered by John Stralecki. We should mention that Sam Yannis has a new live album out as well. We're hearing a track from it now, a new imagining of the Bodines classic Brand New, as we close today's show. I'm Mitch Tyke. So great to have you listening today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. It's 11 o'clock, and fresh air is next.